is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to it, my friends. It's Tuesday here on the Steve Gruber Show, brought to you in part by Mesa. Good business, good health, and great schools is Mesa. And they're bringing you this hour of the program. What a terrific Labor Day weekend it was. The official end of summer and a burst of hot weather. Ivy and I had the opportunity to entertain some more folks from Florida, her grandparents specifically, who were, I think they were breathtaking by what Lake Charlevoix in northern Michigan looks like.
They were indeed, Steve. I mean, my sister and brother-in-law and niece and nephew were up a few weeks ago, and they honestly did not want to leave, and I find it that it's going to be very similar with my grandparents. They just absolutely love northern Michigan, and I'm just glad they had a great time.
What a day it was out. Sunday was great. Yesterday got a little bumpy, of course, as far as the weather goes, and some localized flooding in different places around Michigan from some hard, powerful storm cells, and more of that to come today. But as far as Sunday went, what a display of incredible hardware, including some Michigan-made boats, Tiaras, that we saw out there, cruising on Lake Charlevoix and elsewhere. Just some magnificent boats we saw.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of them may be worth more than I might make in a lifetime. But
well, there is that possibility. But in fact, several of them worth more than we'll make in a lifetime. But cheers to those that can get it done.
Absolutely. You know, and not envious, but grateful that they have that opportunity for them. But anyhow, yeah, I just some amazing sights. And just I can't wait. Actually, I think you and I are planning on going back in October to cruise around Lake Walloon, try to get our hands on some rainbow trout. And man, can you imagine the fall colors?
The fall colors will peak in that part of northwest Michigan sometime between the 1st and 15th of October. Walloon Lake is a great place. We hear that rainbows are beautiful there, so we're going to go there. Falling in love with Michigan, I guess, is just what we're touching base on just for a moment here, because it was a spectacular summer. Finally hit a couple days in the 90s, but overall, what a great summer and just a great pile of memories. Thank you, Michigan, really.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, my family kind of didn't understand why I love Michigan so much until they've enjoyed it for themselves and seen it for themselves, how incredible it is and how many resources we have in terms of just the Great Lakes and the plush hardwoods and just all of those things that really, and hunting, of course, make Michigan great. And so they've grown to love it, and that really makes me happy.
So you become a homer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've become a homer, which is good. Cheerleader for the state of Michigan. And you know, we need that. But Michigan's a fabulous place. And for the folks, Ivy's relatives from Florida didn't get it. They get it now. It's so much easier to just say, hey, you sit down here and watch the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to say a word.
Right. Well, and then my grandparents also commenting on how clean and clear the water is and how...
One of the baffling things for your grandmother, though, we had rented a house Labor Day weekend in Boyne City. And she's like, well, I can't figure out how to lock the door. There's no way to lock the door.
Oh,
she's in full-on panic because there's no way to lock the door. I was like, we don't care about locking the door.
I just had to, you know, there was a few times where I was trying to battle with her about it. It's like, don't worry about it. We don't have to lock the doors. She literally was in search of the keys to make sure she could lock the doors at night. It's just kind of funny, but hey, you know.
She lives in Orlando, which, you know, not a bad town. But it's a big city with millions of people, and we're in northern Michigan with a place. In fact, I told her this, and I read some statistics here recently. There are 20 counties in Michigan that haven't had a homicide in some 20 years, and Charlevoix, Antrim, and Emmett are three of those counties, all in that area. And so there you go. Anyhow, what a great summer it's been.
Absolutely. It's just kind of funny, you know, her being paranoid about it. But hey, you know, just let her just do her thing.
Hey, keep her happy, absolutely. And falling in love with Michigan the way she should. Anyhow, quickly here, before we go to the next break, I do want to say it's been quite a summer for Hillary Clinton as well. Hillary Clinton's had a rough summer, and now apparently her public support is dropping like a stone in Lake Charlevoix. How about you like that little hook there? And now she has this new humble posture when asked about her use of private emails and so forth. So they're resetting the Hillary Clinton campaign again. Really? I mean, if you don't know who Hillary Clinton is at this point, and who doesn't know who Hillary Clinton is and have an opinion one way or the other, like her, don't like her, strongly, you know, mildly, whatever, doesn't it seem that you would know? What else can you do? How can you relaunch her again? How can you relaunch Hillary Clinton again? But she was speaking at a backyard barbecue in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, here recently, talking, you know, in a much more humble way and a much more trying to be her husband, frankly. And it's not working. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is in Pittsburgh marching with the United Steelworkers Union with his United Steelworkers hat on. And Joe Biden is coming, and Joe Biden, I believe, has a real shot at this thing. I do. I believe that Joe Biden has a real shot at this thing because people have this Clinton fatigue. Now, Joe Biden is not exactly your premier candidate, and he's not the first choice of lots of folks, make no mistake, but at this point, inside the Clinton campaign, they're very worried. I mean, look at it. Bernie Sanders is winning in New Hampshire by 7 points. Bernie Sanders is within 5 or 6 points in Iowa. Joe Biden, who isn't even in the race, is showing good numbers in Iowa and New Hampshire. The Hillary Clinton campaign is worried. More importantly, the DNC is very worried. You know, Hillary Clinton, we talked about this earlier on the program with Professor Alan Sachs. He heard the same thing I heard over the weekend, which was Hillary Clinton saying, you know, I knew this was going to be, you know, a tough campaign, and I knew it was going to be rough and tumble. But no, he didn't. You thought for sure this was going to be a cakewalk, a coronation. You were going to be, you know, given a rose-petaled covered path to the White House. Hillary Clinton didn't think it was going to be tough like this. And Bernie Sanders? Nobody took Bernie Sanders seriously. He was at 6 and 7 points. Now he's at 30, 35, 40, 45, almost 50% in New Hampshire. Nobody believed that Bernie Sanders would garner that kind of support. Nobody. Well, he's from Vermont, Steve, and everybody kind of knew that. No, don't kid yourself. That's a BS throwaway line from the DNC, from the Democratic National Committee, trying to explain away the competition that Hillary's not in. Well, it's good to have this conversation. It's good to have a robust season. Well, if that's true, then why aren't you having more debates and so forth? Great summer for Ivy and I. Tough summer for Hillary Clinton. I think that's the takeaway and the bottom line as we head into September. Also coming up this weekend, Michigan State will be hosting Oregon, the 5th-ranked team in the country, hosting the 7th-ranked team in the country. I think Ivy and I will go on down and check that out for you, too. Check out the tailgating. You want to check out some tailgating?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we'll do that and give you a full report coming Monday as well. It's Tuesday on the Steve Gruber Show. Welcome aboard, my friends.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's the same old story all over again. We turn a lover into just another.
It's 888-900-9966 is the hotline, the common sense hotline to join the conversation. My next guest has quickly become one of my favorites because of his straightforward, to-the-point attitude, which I think is tremendous. Rick Ector is the guy in charge of Legally Armed in Detroit. And he also says that there are gun control groups out there that are swatting open carry permit holders, putting lives at risk, especially in high-risk areas like Detroit. Rick Ector is a National Rifle Association credentialed firearms instructor and much more. Rick Ector, welcome back to the program.
Hey, happy Labor Day to you all, and thank you for once again allowing me to appear on the show.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. For those that don't know your story, you were held at gunpoint in your own driveway before you had a concealed weapons license, a concealed pistol license, and you said to yourself, never again, and it basically changed your life.
Yeah, for me, it was one of those defining watershed moments, you know. Before, you know, the incident, before the robbery, I wasn't anti-gun and neither was I pro-gun. I was sort of, you know, thinking that it might be a good idea, you know, something for me to look into a little later. But I had an epiphany, if you would, when I was accosted at my garage in my backyard. And I decided then that that was what I needed for a wake-up call for me to take on a more active role in my personal protection. So in a lot of ways, I view that event, you know, the date of that event is my second birthday. I very easily could not have been here, and I never wanted to allow myself to be put in that situation again.
A watershed moment, to say the least, for you, Rick. And, you know, and as a black man in Detroit, obviously you've seen your share of probably dicey situations, let's be honest. Crime is higher in places like Detroit than out in the country, for example. And I wonder what kind of pushback you got from folks when you were working to become an NRA credentialed instructor. Because to me, it's more important for you and women and other people in high-risk areas or areas that they have higher exposure to the possibility of having a problem. It's more important to have you protected than some other folks. So, I mean, it's a big deal for you. And you look at the number of people in Detroit that have been legally armed in the last year, year and a half, 1,200, 1,500. The numbers keep rising, which is probably good, isn't it?
Yeah, I really believe that it is a good thing, you know, and some of the stories that we've had just in the past week, you know, bears that out, you know. There are some people who feel that we should not have self-defense, that we should not have a right to defend ourselves, that we should not have stand your ground. It seems that some elements in our society, and even in Detroit locally, that we should make every accommodation for bad guys who have demonstrated the willingness to commit crime. Fortunately, in the past week, there were a couple of very notable self-defense stories that were actually published in which law-abiding citizens actually defended themselves. So that was, you know, very good and enlightening for me to see. In terms of pushback, yeah, you know, I've done local stuff here, home in the media, and I might have a debate opponent present. And, you know, they'll say things such as, well, hey, you know, that 16, 17-year-old who took that gun and shoved it in your face at an ATM machine, you know, he really didn't know what he was doing. And or maybe he's a good boy who ran, you know, with the wrong crowd. Mm-hmm. He's kind of mixed up. And, you know, we shouldn't deny him the opportunity to live a full life. You know, all the while, he's literally probably holding a gun to someone's head with his finger on the trigger. And just something as simple as a sneeze or external stimulus could cause him to accidentally shoot and kill you. Or, you know, as an afterthought, maybe he doesn't want a witness and he decides to, you know, take that risk and go ahead and shoot and kill you. But, you know, I'm always going to be pro-self-defense, pro-gun.
As you should be.
It's only the right thing to do.
As you should be. Now, you're also a proponent of open carry. I mean, there's a great picture on FoxNews.com of you standing at a gas pump with a pistol on your hip. You're an open carry guy, but you also think that some of these anti-gun people are swatting open carry permit holders, basically calling in, oh, there's a person with a gun and creating chaos when you're a legal gun owner, clearly. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, I think that at this juncture, you know, we all know that in the state of Michigan, at least, that open carry is legal. And, you know, when you look at what some of these anti-gun groups such as Every Town and Mother's Demand, Gun Sense, and all this other, you know, all these other anti-civil rights organizations are doing, you know, when they're actively advocating for their membership and the people who follow them to call the police and say, hey, there's this open carry guy in my community. And in some cases, you know, they're embellishing the story You know, they're making it seem as though this individual is doing something strange when in fact he's doing nothing more than exercising his right to openly display a firearm. You know, I think that these people are doing a disservice to the community, especially when they're exaggerating and adding details to the story that aren't true but suggest that a dangerous situation exists. There, for one, they're tying up public resources by demanding that law enforcement stop whatever they're doing and come over and to investigate the scene. Two, you know, it's nothing more than I look at it as a high-risk game of high-risk stakes poker. They're trying to discourage people from exercising their rights because if they can get someone to think that they're going to be hassled by law enforcement, maybe they shouldn't do that. And I think it's just fundamentally wrong to engage in some course of action that's going to discourage someone from engaging in their constitutional right to bear a firearm.
Rick Hector, I want to say thank you for having my back when I'm in Detroit. I appreciate what you're doing. If nobody has said it, thank you for the work you do. Rick Hector, great. A great spokesman for Michigan and a great America. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Hey, thank you for once again having me on.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right. Let's go to the hotline here. I thought you said Matt. Did you say Jeff? Yeah, that's what I thought. Matt. Anyhow. Matt's on the line this morning. I'm just making sure I'm misunderstanding your note here, Alex. At any rate, Matt's on the line on the hotline, which is 888-900-9966. Matt, what's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to your program, but this is an off-subject matter about the minimum wage increase. I want to make an analogy so people can understand it. Is if the casino wasn't bringing in enough money and they raised the minimum bet from a dollar to, let's say, $5, it would bring less gamble into the casino, and the workers would make less money, and ultimately the restaurant across the street would get less people, and the hotel would get less people. So the casino is the government. The people entering are the gamblers of the businesses, and the people inside are the people making the money, the workers. And so they lose. The choice shouldn't be between the worker and the company. The choice should be between government getting less and lowering the tax rate, and that would increase the workers' wages.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for checking in with that. Greatly appreciate that, Matt, checking in. And apparently doesn't like the minimum wage. You know, the gamblers are us, the voters, apparently. We gamble on somebody new all the time. It seems like we keep coming up snake eyes when it comes to government. Speaking of the government overstepping its bounds and going too far in a matter, how about a pair of high school students facing legal action after being charged for sexual exploitation, leaving many families with unsettled emotions? Cormega Copening and his girlfriend Brianna Benson, Cormega here, the star quarterback at his high school in Fayetteville, Arkansas, found out that they are being charged for sending 5 sexually explicit pictures using their cell phones. They're both 16. Are we going too far? Molly Gill here, the Government Affairs Council for Families Against Mandatory Minimums. Molly, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I think minimum sentences are, to me, wrong, and mandatory sentences are wrong. I think if that's the case, I could set my computer, my laptop up on the bench, because you don't really need a judge at that point. There are no mitigating factors. If everything's mandatory and minimum and set by the legislature, why would you need a judge, would be my question, Molly.
Well, absolutely, and that's what Sam has been doing for the last 25 years, is trying to convince Congress and state legislators that we do not want to be putting this much power in the hands of prosecutors. And, you know, a lot of people, when they go to a courtroom, they think the judge is the most powerful person in the room. And, in fact, it is often the prosecutor. And these prosecutors, you know, in some places they're elected, in the federal system they're appointed, and they have absolute unrestrained power to do whatever they want to do with you. If they can find something to charge you with, they can charge you. They can you know, go with the harshest charges available, charges that carry mandatory prison sentences that the judge can't do anything about. And it sounds like in this situation, which is something we're seeing frequently, is we have probably a well-meaning law trying to keep, naughty pictures of underage people from circulating around the internet and things like
16.
That. And instead they've applied it against two teenagers at a high school who were having legal sex under state law and, took these pictures of each other, sent them to each other. And now if this young man is convicted, he will have a felony record. He could go to prison for up to 10 years and he'll have to register as a sex offender, which carries all kinds of restrictions about where he can live and work and, whether he can be around children. So I think
now this is stupid.
This is
flat out stupid. And what makes me angry about this? What makes me angry about this is not just the fact that the law is completely out of control. You know, a prosecutor has the discretion of whether or not to charge such a thing, and that's number two on the list. Because number one on the list is simply this: they went to this young man, Cormega Copeland, to find out about something else, to ask to see his cell phone voluntarily, which he gave to them on an unrelated matter that had little to do with him, trying to help the police out, he was. And this is how they repaid the favor. This is how they repaid the favor, by prosecuting him, because him and his girlfriend, who are the same age, had some pictures that may be considered inappropriate by the parents. This is a parenting matter, not a legal matter. This is garbage. And then I read that this a child psychiatrist, Seth Tabb, who himself should be locked up for comments this stupid, said parents need to educate themselves first on the laws and then follow suit with their kids. Really? Because as a parent, I need to go find out every stupid law passed by the legislature and then educate myself and the kids. Do you think I have that kind of time? I just happen to think that, I would raise my kid using common sense and so forth, not worrying about stupid laws that might entangle me and my children.
Right, absolutely. I mean, why should we be aware of the law? Why don't we have good laws that don't do this to our children? And
amen.
I mean, you're also assuming they're, these kids, when they were doing this, they had no idea that a law was being broken. Their parents didn't know a law was being broken. And that's another problem that we see in America today, is this over-criminalization, that we are criminalizing all of this conduct, passing all of these laws. This has become a big issue in Congress. There are over 4,500 laws in our federal criminal code alone. Forget the 50 states, just the federal criminal code. There are over 4,500 criminal laws, and I bet your average American citizen can't name 10 of them. And so we've completely moved away from the idea that, the things that are wrong, murder, rape, stealing, those things obviously are crimes, and now we're moving into a world where things that, may or may not actually be very wrong or very immoral or raise that many objections, are misdemeanors and felonies. I mean, this case is a North Carolina case, and I was looking through their code a little bit. In North Carolina, it's still a misdemeanor to commit fornication and adultery if any man or woman not being married to each other so lewdly and lasciviously associate, bed, and cohabit together. They're guilty of a Class 2 misdemeanor, which is a crime in North Carolina. That is still on the books. So,
right, but meanwhile,
I understand. It's just this over-criminalization.
Absolutely. Now, Molly Gill is on the line, the Government Affairs Council for Families Against Mandatory Minimums. Now, I understand the need to, enforce child pornography laws, to enforce underage laws when it comes to sexually explicit pictures and making sure that people aren't trafficking them. These are two 16-year-olds trading back and forth. They didn't know they were doing anything wrong. They didn't even think of themselves as children. They thought of themselves as young adults and experimenting and whatever they're doing, right? That's what teenagers have done since the earth cooled. And here we are criminalizing it. I'm serious. As the earth cooled, teenagers, their hormones heat up, and they always have, and that's the way it is. There's nothing criminal here are hormones a criminal group now? I mean, yeah. Seriously, in this case. Anyhow, I'll give you 30 seconds for the last word, Molly.
I think it's just a reminder that we really need to be careful about how much power that we get to prosecutors. The prosecutors didn't have to charge this case. They didn't have to bring this case, and I hope that they're held accountable at the polls for wasting his time. What I want to know is how many burglaries, robberies, murders have not been investigated because police have been wasting their time on this nonsense.
Absolutely true. And this is, as you put it so directly and so clearly, nonsense. Molly Gill, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
I guess maybe you should take time to talk to your kid and tell them, you know, what you're doing with your phone you ought to be careful about, because you never know if you might be dragged in on some nonsense illegality. Molly Gill, the Government Affairs Council for Families Against Mandatory Minimums. It's a parenting issue, not a criminal issue. It's the Steve Gruber Show, which is a common sense issue. We'll be right back.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
I got one here for you that I think is a cool story, and I want to share with you. Breanne Snow, and then we'll get to our next round of events here, but Breanne Snow is closing out her check for a group of Michigan fans dining at the Bourbon House in Salt Lake City, Utah, after the Michigan team was beaten by Utah 24-17 last Thursday. It was late, like 1 in the morning. And the party had rung up a $505 tab. And that's when Tips for Jesus sprang into action. There's a $3,000 tip on the bill. Tips for Jesus is an anonymous group that's been leaving massive tips for servers since 2013, when a $3,000 tip was left in an Ann Arbor bar. Snow's reaction to her own tip was wonderful. This is from the Salt Lake Tribune. The Salt Lake Tribune, "I went and I cried in the corner for a couple of minutes," she said. She said she and her boyfriend both worked two jobs to pay off debt. "We are both working so very hard and never see the payout from it. It came as such a relief. He could have picked anyone else in there, and for him to pick me, it meant a lot because we are all working so hard." Can you imagine a you were a server at one time in your life, Ivy. Can you imagine a $3,000 tip?
Wow, yeah. I mean, I've had times where it had seemed where I was in a point in my life where I really needed some extra money, and by some blessing, somebody would leave me $500 tip, you know, or $300 tip, or whatever the case may be. So it happens, but you're always very grateful when things like that. It just always comes, it seems, at the right time. And thank goodness for those who are benevolent.
And generous like that. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. All right, shifting gears now. And in respect of our, being generous to our veterans that we need. And joining us here is Jeff Cassidy from the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Jeff Cassidy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We've got a couple of big events coming up, one in Flint and then one in Lansing. The Flint Expo will be November 6th and 7th, and then in Lansing, September 11th and 12th. Tell me what the Veteran Expo is all about in both of these cities.
Well, the Expo is really an opportunity for veterans to receive on-site services, look at resources for the veteran and for the family, get a face-to-face, all in one place. It's a free event. There's more than 120 exhibitors are going to be present. The veteran and their families can discover local community organization. They can get job-seeking tips. They can receive guidance on becoming an entrepreneur. They can see service dog demonstrations. There's a variety of presentations. So there's really just kind of a one-stop shop for the veteran and their family.
You know, so often we hear about veterans not knowing where to turn and feeling like they are isolated or alone or, you know, unstable, I suppose, in some ways. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but just, you know, trying to get their feet back under them when they get back from Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever they may have served. So events like this, I would say, are critically important, wouldn't you?
We think so. Last year, we had three events. We held expos in Marquette, Detroit, and Grand Rapids. We talked to over 4,200 veterans and their families. They learned about education. They learned about employment opportunities. They met with benefit counselors, received health screenings. So we felt last year was really successful, and this year is just an extension on that. We've, like I said, last year we were in Marquette, Detroit, and Grand Rapids. This year we're in Flint and Lansing. And so we're hopeful to bring those services and benefits to veterans in those areas.
So you spread out all over the state depending on the year, and you do this each year. Now, it's a two-day event in both places. Again, the Flint Expo will be November 6th and 7th, and the event in Lansing, the Expo for Veterans, will be the 11th and 12th, November in Flint, September in Lansing. And so these are also opportunities for veterans to meet. If you had 4,200 participants last year, a chance for them to meet other veterans.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a family event. It's not just designed for veterans. We're hoping that they bring their families out. We hope they bring their fellow veterans out as well. And it's a good opportunity to not only network with possible employers, but network with other veterans. Talk to people that have been through the same kind of situations that you've been through, and you know, hopefully realize that you're not alone, and there are a lot of people out there that are dealing with the same types of things that you are.
And are these events open to the public as well? You talk about employers and other opportunities for them to get plugged into the communities they're in and find out some of the opportunities that are out there for them. Is it also open to the public to come in? Just if I just wanted to walk in and shake hands and say, hey, thank you for your service, is that a possibility?
Absolutely. You know, we open the doors to everybody. It is the hiring our heroes event, as well as the vendors are geared towards veterans. But we're hopeful that, you know, that people can come in and shake some hands and let people know that they appreciate their service.
We're on the line with Jeff Cassidy from the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. All right, Jeff. So if people want to find out more, they're listening to me now. Where can they find out some information? Again, the Lansing event is September 11th and 12th. The Flint Expo this year will be November 6th and 7th. Is there a resource, a website where they can go?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, which is MichiganVeterans.com, or they can also call our resource center at 1-800-MICH-VET. That's 1-800-MICH-VET.
And MichiganVeterans.com, the other resource, pretty easy to remember. And hats off to you, Jeff, and all the folks at your organization for, well, frankly, doing the right thing. And thank you for joining us.
Thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
There you have it. It's Jeff Cassidy, everybody. Michigan Veterans Affairs is the agency. Again, that Veterans Expo will be, and if you're a business owner and looking to hire some veterans, this is the place to be. That Lansing event, September 11th and 12th in Flint and Genesee County, November 6th and 7th, a chance for you to reach out, shake a hand, say thank you for your service. And by the way, can I help you get back on your feet? If you're an employer, what a great opportunity for you to do the right thing as well. It's Tuesday on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.